Beautiful people, it's Bonnie Gillespie, and this is your SMFA Essentials MP3 Q&A on promoting the heck out of something without annoying everyone. Thank you so much for your wonderful questions. As always, they are phenomenal, as are you. Let's jump right in. First question, what's the number one mistake actors make when self-promoting? That's easy. The number one biggest mistake that actors make when self-promoting is not considering the recipient, treating all promotion as if one size fits all, deciding that every recipient gets the same exact thing no matter what, basically operating from a place of me, 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 and what do I need to get across to them rather than who are they and what do they need to know about me? Where do we intersect and how can I make that happen sooner and more organically and more authentically? And that really is, without question, the number one biggest mistake is that most promotional efforts come across not terribly tailored to the recipient, and it feels that way. And that lack of personal touch makes a huge difference in terms of the relationship building, which is what you're looking at long haul with any of your self-promotional efforts. Next question, what happens if you do a great job promoting your show or film? Yay, you! There's great buzz about it. Yay! And people actually come through and see it. Yay, yay, yay! All of this. Okay. And it's not as great as you thought it would be, or it's not that great at all, or your scene got cut from the TV episode. Whew, does that reflect poorly on you as the actor? If so, how do I rebound from something like that in a professional manner? Okay, first off, we've all been there. We've all promoted the heck out of something thinking this is going to be amazing. We got to make sure that everybody finds out about it. Yay, yay, yay. And then we take a look at it and go, oh crap, I hope nobody saw that. It's tough. It's a real delicate balance because you both have to charge into your self-promotional efforts, assuming what you are promoting is going to be worth them checking out, and protect against what if it's not so great. Obviously, anything you can do to find out ahead of time how things are looking is going to be beneficial, because if you only find out after it's too late that something's not great, that is a little tougher to come back from because you've already put the word out there, especially if you've done a good job of actually getting them to show up. That then turns into crap, they showed up right as it's something that's not amazing that I wanted them to see after all. Shoot, what do I do? I get it. The good news is we have all been there. All of us, every single exec, every suit, every agent, every casting director, every showrunner, every writer, director, producer, everybody in this industry has had something that they've been excited about that then turned out not to be so great, or that they turned out to be minimized or cut out of altogether. So you're not alone. You don't need to be apologetic for that. It's just the way it is. And this is where the benefit is that a lot of people don't actually turn out. So the buzz actually did help you without the punchline being such heavy impact. Of course, in this specific scenario that you're asking about, and people actually did show up and then suddenly you're not proud of what it was. Hopefully, if it's a play, you've got a sense of that before people are showing up to opening night. You know, you've done rehearsals, you've been at previews, you're aware, oh wow, this is actually not looking so great. Probably one of my favorite emails that I received very early on in my casting career came from an actor who had heavily promoted a show, and then about 4 days before the show, she shot me another email and said, hey, don't know if you were planning to come or not. I know I had asked you to be there for me on this, but I'm going to let you know right now, I'm not actually as excited about this as I was when I started working on it, and I think there's going to be a better place for you to check out my work than this. So, I mean, certainly if you want to come see it, but I'd hate for you to come to this and then not come to something in the future that I may be more proud of, because just based on last night's rehearsal, I don't know, there's some kinks that we still really need to work out. That email caused me to really respect this particular actor. I still remember exactly who it is, and this happened in 2003. I absolutely remember exactly who this is, and I am a fan of her work, and it was very cool to me that she thought to say, maybe don't waste your time on this one. And that goes to the bigger picture of trusting that you're going to have a bunch of things to promote over the course of your career, and that this is a relationship for a lifetime, not just a results-oriented situation of, I got to hurry up and get this particular person to come see this particular show. If you look at everything through the lens of big picture, long haul, relationship building, you're going to be in much better shape with how you handle all of this. Yeah, as far as a television show and you find out you got cut out of it when it airs, along with everybody else who watches it and finds out you got cut out, well, unless they filled out an actor delete form, you know, you're still in the credits, so you still got the work. And hopefully they tuned into the show because they are not only fans of you, but also thought they would enjoy the show. And I wouldn't worry too much about stepping up and going, oh, shoot, that was a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be. That was two lines instead of two scenes. Shoot. Don't worry about that. You promoted it correctly and accurately based on what it looked like it was going to be at the time. And then it changed, and everybody in this industry understands that, and they're probably not going to remember it. It's the same reason that these big headlines will run all the time in the papers, and then the correction runs on page 23 in tiny print down in the corner, because the corrections are just not as important as the headlines. And I want you to remember that about your career as well. Great questions. Next up. Some casting directors say it's okay to do drop-offs or come visit. Well, I don't know if they, do they say come visit? Maybe they say do drop-offs. I don't know if they say come visit, but maybe, hey, in your market, if they do, cool. But I don't want to annoy them. Is there etiquette for doing a quick hello that I should be following? Yeah, this is where your reading the room skills are going to be really important. Your ability to gauge like what's going on and to assume that you need to keep it short is of benefit. The fact that you're even concerned that you get it right means you're much more likely to get it right than someone who doesn't even realize that they should be concerned they're getting it right. It's the people who pop in and just figure, hey, I got nowhere to be, so I'll hang out here for a while, and don't respect that there's work being done. You are hitting pause on someone else's work day to come in and say hello. Well, you look at that and say, yeah, but I'm doing my work. That's great, but you're keeping them from doing some of their work, so you definitely want to keep it short. There's a great phrase that I love, and it's always be leaving. And of course, that's a play on the Glengarry Glen Ross always be closing, but the always be leaving gives that sense of, I've got somewhere else to go, so I'm just popping in real quick. Wanted to drop off my new headshot. Here's a postcard. Here's an invitation to my latest event. Just wanted to say, hey, here's a card for Starbucks because it's you know, coming up on the anniversary of that booking where you cast me in a project whatever number of years ago, and I always think of you and I'm so grateful, and so I just want, it's a $5 coffee card, just wanted to drop it off, you know, whatever the thing is, but then you gotta go. That allows us to say, hey, well, no, hang on, come on and sit down, hang out for a little bit. Even so, you want to read the signals and know when it's time to say goodbye. But it's really empowering to have us go, wow, that was really great. Look at that quick little drive-by and how awesome that was, versus, oh my God, the actor who sucked all my time. So I just say err on the side of brevity and you're going to be fine. Final question for this month's Q&A MP3. How often is too often for postcards? Should I send one out every month or only when I have really big news? Okay, well, this, I don't like this question, sorry, because it basically ignores the whole point of everything I teach, which is specificity. There is no one rule for how often to send out postcards. Should I do it monthly? Blah, blah, blah. It's target to target. Remember, you are looking at each individual recipient in your show Bible and determining what these folks need in order to be served best by your promotional efforts. So if you have done research that shows that this is a casting office that is totally cool with postcards, absolutely. Once a month is fine. Once a week is fine. And I say that because it's just a postcard. It's also fine to do it quarterly. It's also fine to do it sporadically. What's important is to track what it is that is of value based on the office that you're targeting. And so what I want you to really pay attention to is what your targets are telling you. When you're at a CD workshop and you ask a question, hey, do you accept postcards? And if so, how often should I send them? Then the person says, I love postcards. You can send them anytime. great, log in your show Bible, the information that that person loves postcards, and every time you've got something to say, you should send them. Remember that postcards are like billboards on the side of the road. They are not meant to change the behavior of the recipient. They are meant to be brand ambassadors. They're just out there to show the recipient who you are, remind them of your brand, let them know how to reach you when they're ready to do so. If you have news, that's great. If your only news is, hey, I'm still in this and I wanted to say hi, that's totally fine. There was an actor who I eventually cast in a play and then later in a short film, so I've cast her twice over the years, who started our relationship by sending me a postcard probably every month. And every holiday, that whatever holiday happened in that month, she would put a sticker on the exact same postcard every time. So it was the same headshot, same photo every time. She would just put a sticker representing whatever that holiday was, you know. So for the 4th of July, it was an American flag. And on St. Patrick's Day, it was a four-leaf clover, you know, whatever. And so Valentine's Day, big heart with glitter on it. You know, and she would put these little stickers on the postcards to just designate that this is when it was coming across. And then she'd do a little handwritten note like Happy Valentine's Day or Happy Flag Day or, you know, Happy Arbor Day. I don't know, whatever her thing was, because that was just what worked for her and her promotional schedule. Now, I didn't feel the need to keep any of these postcards. It really, really was just a billboard on the side of the road. But when I met her for the first time, I was like, yeah, that's the gal who always sends me those postcards. And that can't hurt. Don't worry that you're going to annoy somebody with postcards, because postcards are so disposable. Do, in terms of email, though, err on the side of being very sure that they are okay. Make sure that you've created a mailing list and they've opted in, or that you've sent an email saying, hey, is it cool with you if I send you quarterly actor updates? And let them say yes, because if you are an unwelcome presence in the inbox, unlike with postcards where we just toss you in the trash, in our inbox for email, we'll hit the spam button, and that ends up hurting your ability to have your messages opened by people who actually did opt in and want to see those. So use caution with that. Definitely constantly check in with the recipients and be sure that everything is feeling right, not only for what it is that you're trying to get across, but also the people with whom you're trying to intersect. They're telling you what kind of contact they prefer. You know, they're absolutely letting you know what it is that they respond to. And this is where lurk then lead comes into play. If you pay attention to them, look at their social networking streams, follow them on Twitter, take a look at what they've got out on Facebook, on YouTube. If they do panel events, speaking engagements, anything that's live streamed, you should be checking all of that out. These folks are telling you the level of interaction that they want and with which they're comfortable. And then it's up to you to map all that out. And if you're like, I don't have the time, I just want to send a bunch of updates, that's cool too. Just know that that's exactly the same as the Bed Bath & Beyond, postcard with the coupon, the 20% off one, coming to your mailbox every month, and you don't feel special when you receive it because everybody on the block got it and gets it every month, and you don't feel the need to keep it or build a relationship with Bed Bath & Beyond because you know you're going to get another one in a few weeks. Remember, this is a relationship business. We are constantly building relationships, and that means the more specificity you put into it, even though, yes, that takes time, the better the bond. So definitely do your homework, lurk then lead, and stay ninja. This has been the Q&A MP3 for the SMFA Essentials module promoting the heck out of something without annoying everyone. I'm Bonnie Gillespie, and until next month, keep creating.